see I have some burnt matches here on the. I think that's left over from last night. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. So good to see you again this morning, and it's a wonderful day. What better way to celebrate Christmas than to come together and worship together? This is the reason why we gather. This is the reason that we are the body of Christ, is because Jesus came for us. So what better way to spend Christmas morning than in the Lord's house together? So it's good to see you. In South Africa, we actually don't have Christmas Eve services. Mainly we have Christmas Day services. So this is kind of normal for us. You know, we're okay with this. But you know, as a church, in the office, in our church office environment and in our MLT meetings, we spend a lot of time working on how to convey information to people, making announcements. We spend an enormous amount of time and effort with video announcements, printed bulletins, which you don't have bulletins today, I'm sorry. But we didn't print bulletins today because we weren't sure how many people were going to be here, and it's kind of a low-key Sunday as well. But we spend a lot of time, we do the video announcements, we do other types of announcements, we put things on Facebook, we have the website, we send out the connections email, all in the effort to try and convey information, all in the effort to make announcements. And sometimes we still get it wrong. Sometimes we still miss some people, and some people don't get to hear about the announcements that we make. Last Sunday, as you know, we canceled the services due to the weather. And we went the extra mile and put the announcements on all the local television networks. Debbie did a great job of doing that. I just came home and gave her the folder. I said, take care of it. And she did it. She's magic. I don't know how she did it. But and so we were able to cancel, or at least make the announcement on the television for that. Well, yes, Sunday afternoon, I came up to the church, and I saw some footprints walking up to the door and turning around and walking back. And it looked like ladies' footprints. And I felt terrible. I thought, oh no, there's someone that didn't get the message. And I hope that someone's not here today and you're really mad with me. Well, probably if you're angry about it, you probably wouldn't be here today. But so I apologize, whoever that was, that you didn't get the message. But what if God gave us the job of announcing the greatest news in all the world? What if God gave us the task of announcing the birth of Jesus, the greatest announcement in all of history? What would we do? How would we go about making that announcement? And I hinted to this a little bit last night, but what we, you know, in our mindset in the 21st century, we would probably buy some television time. We'd make sure it got all the satellite networks. We would probably print some billboards and spend a lot of money making this announcement, making sure everybody from the top tier of society got to hear about it. All people of influence, we would want to try and connect with them to make sure they could help spread the word. Well, that's not the way God did it. The way we would think in the 21st century is completely different to the way God announced the birth of Jesus. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 today. And you know, making announcements is something that I've tried and I've tweaked and I've done different things. And sometimes, like that announcement, we re-ran the video this morning of the guy whispering. We showed that last night, and I thought, that gets people's attention. Just that quiet whisper sometimes gets attention. So we think sometimes the most dramatic, the loudest, the biggest announcement is the most effective. But sometimes it's the quiet whisper. And God knows that. God's voice sometimes is the quiet whisper. And so when God made the announcement of Jesus, it wasn't the way we would expect it. He made the announcement initially through the Old Testament. As we looked at in our services of the last few weeks, we looked at the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus coming to be born, and how for hundreds of years the prophets had announced that a Messiah is to be born. The Messiah is coming. And there were some very, very clear depictions in the prophecies, specifically Isaiah and Micah and other prophets, that this Messiah was coming. God was announcing the Messiah. God was announcing the birth of Jesus, right down to the place and how he was going to be born, was announced in the Old Testament prophets. But then God was silent. Between the Old and the New Testament, God was silent for 400 years. There was absolute silence. And people started wondering, where is God? Why is he not speaking? Why are the prophets not speaking? Where is God? And then God starts speaking right before the birth of Jesus. He speaks to, through the angel Gabriel, he speaks to Zechariah. And he tells him about John the Baptist. John will become the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John will be the one, as Isaiah says, the voice crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. So here we have John as the initial spokesperson for the birth of Jesus. Can you imagine this? Here is a guy that lives in the wilderness. He dresses in camel skin, eats locusts and wild honey. Most people think he's probably crazy. And God says, he's going to be my spokesman. He's going to be the one that's going to announce the birth of Jesus. So God uses John to begin his great announcement. The greatest announcement in all of history is a voice crying in the wilderness. Not something we would do, not a way we would expect it to be done. But then the time comes for Jesus to be born. As the Bible says, the perfectly appointed time. The time when Jesus was to be born. And we read in Luke chapter 2, and it's very well known, but the first people to hear about the birth of Jesus were the shepherds. The simple shepherds. And we're going to look at the shepherds today in some detail, but simple shepherds, probably no media exposure, no understanding of marketing methods, these simple shepherds, probably never even spoken to a crowd before. And God says, I want to show you the Messiah, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you something to go and tell others. So we pick up the story in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read today from verse 8 to 20. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, I was singing too loud. Hope I don't lose my voice. So Luke chapter 2, if you can follow along in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on the earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Christmas story is probably unlike anything else that we could ever have scripted. If we were to try and script the story of Christmas, it is so unusual, so unlike anything that we could have ever imagined, for the great promised Messiah to be born this way is so unusual. Let's think of it. I'm going to break it down into different sections today. Jesus was born in a stable, in a manger. He was born in a food trough for cattle, and he was laid in there as an early baby. You know, if you and I were to script the birth of the Son of God, we would pick the best hospital of the day. We might go and, you know, book out a whole suite at Children's Mercy and say, this is where he should be born. The best medical care that could possibly be had. But no, God shows. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, listen to these words. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. The ox and the donkey, they knew who was born. But the people of Israel did not know. Jesus was born in a stable and nobody noticed. The location and the situation of the birth of Jesus was exactly how God scripted it. Was exactly how God had planned it. And then we think about the mother of Jesus, Mary. Now, and we understand that, and we believe, obviously, that Jesus was born of a virgin. But if you and I were to script a mother to take care of the Son of God, would we take a teenager or maybe someone that had a bit of experience in raising children? You know, maybe someone that had raised a few children, because you got to know how to take care of this child. But God chose Mary, an untrained, unprepared mother, and said, you are going to be tasked with the responsibility of taking care of the Messiah, the child of God, the Son of God. Again, it's exactly the way God had scripted it. We read in Isaiah chapter 7, exactly the way God scripted it, that Jesus would be born of Mary. What about the location? Bethlehem. Now, in the list of towns and the list of cities in all of Israel, Bethlehem is not even listed. It is the smallest of the small towns. Why Bethlehem? Again, if we were to think about the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, we would say, well, that should be in Jerusalem. It should be somewhere notable. It should be somewhere where at least some senior politicians are in town so that they can see and notice and recognize the fact that the Messiah has been born. Why Bethlehem? Why this little insignificant town? Or remember, Bethlehem was also the birthplace of David. And it was prophesied again in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which we looked at a few weeks ago. God chose Bethlehem. It is part of God's plan. What about the shepherds? Why did God choose to reveal himself to the shepherds? Why these people? God's announcement obviously was through the angel, but the angel spoke to the shepherds and then tasked them with going and telling others. The most important announcement in all of history was given to shepherds. Shepherds were probably the poorest people in society. If you read through the lines in verse 8, it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields. They maybe didn't even have a fixed home. Maybe they were migrant workers. But shepherds weren't people of wealth. They weren't people of influence. They were the poorest of the poor. And God chose to reveal himself to them. Again, if you and I were tasked with this announcement, we might go to the civic leaders. We might go to the senior politicians. We might go to the radio stations and say, this is something that everybody needs to know. And we'd go to the people of influence. Maybe if we could get an audience with Herod at the time, we'd say, we need to tell you about this. Maybe God should have sent an angel to Herod, because that could have really changed the course of history. Herod could have become a believer and changed the whole nation. Why did God choose the shepherds, the humble shepherds, the poor shepherds? God has a special place in his heart for shepherds. I was in Morocco some years ago, and I was up in the Atlas Mountains in Morocco, and I went up into an olive grove, and I sat there, and I was praying as I was overlooking the valley in Morocco, and I heard the bleating of sheep coming behind me. And suddenly I was transported. I was there, but it felt like I was suddenly transported 2,000 years back in time, because there came the shepherd walking past me, and he was herding sheep, and it looked like a picture-perfect biblical scene. And I thought, this is what it must have been like in Jesus' time, a shepherd herding his sheep through the olive grove. And then the shepherd turned to me and says, "Bonjour," because they speak French in Morocco. And that just ruined the whole scene for me, but the picture was good up until then. But you know, David was a shepherd as well. And it's interesting that since David was born in Bethlehem, he may have herded his sheep in exactly the same place where these shepherds were on this night. It may be in the same hills, maybe in the same place where David had herded his sheep or taken care of his sheep. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. God has a special place for shepherds. God has a special place in his kingdom for the poor, the lowly, the humble. It's interesting that only on Christmas cards, nowhere else, but only on Christmas cards do you see angels and shepherds in the same picture. We'd never put the two together, but only on Christmas cards do you see angels and shepherds together. Many of the wealthy aristocracy of the time would have looked down on these people. They would have looked down on shepherds. "Well, you're just a shepherd. What do you know? You spend your time with really dumb sheep." People would have looked down on them. The rich and the important of society missed the coming of Jesus, missed the coming of the Messiah. But it was revealed to the shepherds. But let's look for the moment at that first Christmas evening. The shepherds were probably relaxing, they were lying, they were sitting down, and just taking care of the sheep, making sure that no one got out of control, no one got lost. Suddenly there was this blinding light. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, you and I are used to bright lights. Now, if we were to turn these lights off and turn the house lights on, you'd probably all reach for sunglasses because it gets really bright in here really quickly. Now, can you imagine back in the first century, these guys had probably never had any lights brighter than a lamp. They've never seen electricity. They've never seen electric lights. Maybe a large fire, but a flame was the only light that they'd ever been familiar with. Suddenly, there was this bright incandescent light of the glory of the Lord. It must have completely blinded them. It was terrifying. As the Bible says in verse 9, they were terrified. Never seen anything like that before. I mean, if you and I were walking in the field and a bright light, we'd think, "Where's the helicopter? It's got to be something that's causing this light." They were terrified. The light was blinding. Another important thing, the picture that the Bible portrays for us here, Jesus called himself the light of the world. The light shone in the dark places. The light shone in the dark place of this hillside where there was no other light. The glory of the Lord shone. Jesus still today brings light into dark places, as the announcement of his birth was bringing light into Bethlehem. The angel of the Lord begins to tell them the good news. In verse 11, he says, he makes it personal to them. It's not just, "Oh, this is for the world." It says in verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." To you. This is personal. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This child that was to be born was for them. Can you imagine how they must have felt? "For me? Oh, I'm just a shepherd." No, it's for you. Jesus came for you and for me. It was a child that would not be disconnected from their lives. So the first thing they did was they listened. They listened. They paid attention. This blinding light, this angel, and then all the angelic hosts singing. The shepherds listened. Now, obviously, not many of us have had such an encounter with God that he's spoken to us with such an audible voice as this angel speaking with this bright light, but they listened and they didn't miss the message that God had for them. Sadly, God speaks to us all the time and sometimes we miss it because we're not paying attention. We're not listening. So they listened first, and then what did they do? Immediately they were obedient. They discussed amongst themselves, "What should we do? Let's go." And they ran. The Bible says they hurried. I imagine them running down this hillside, half blinded from this bright light, stumbling and falling over rocks and picking themselves up and keeping on going as they're trying to get their night sight back again. They'd experienced something so dramatic that they realized, "We have to do something. They encountered the living God, and they were obedient. They moved, and they did what God asked them to do. Finally, they continued. They went and saw the Christ child. They saw Jesus, and they worshiped. So they first listened, then they were obedient, and then they worshiped. To their amazement, when they saw this child, the Son of God, the Messiah, and they looked at him and they realized, he looks just like me. He looks just like a baby. He's just a normal baby. What makes him different? And they realized he is fully man as well as fully God. He is the Son of God. But when they looked at the child, they also realized he's poor. He's in a manger. He's wrapped in cloths. They said, this child is not a child of the aristocracy or the wealthy. This is a child like maybe one of our children as the shepherds. It was a poor child. And their response immediately, they realized that Jesus came for them. Jesus came for them and they worshiped. So what did they do after that though? After they got the message, after they obeyed and they worshiped, then they became witnesses. The Bible tells us in verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them. And verse 18 continues, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. So these quiet, poor, humble shepherds became the first evangelists, became the first witnesses of the Messiah. God uses all types of people to be evangelists. And he spoke to these shepherds, and he called them to be evangelists. God chose them, those that who were probably at the bottom of the social scale, and said, I'm choosing you. He elevated them to be the people that had the most important announcement in all of history to make. God elevated them to that role and that responsibility. They couldn't keep silent. They couldn't contain themselves. They had to tell what they had heard. They couldn't keep it to themselves. And then they returned praising God. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What a night it had been for them. What an amazing night that they were praising God, worshiping God. They'd seen an angel. The glory of the Lord filled the place. And now they returned back. They returned back to their place of work. They returned back to the hillside. Well, their lives would never be the same again. They'd encountered the living God. They went back to work. Now, you think their language probably changed? Possibly. You think that their story changed? Do you think that they continued to tell other people as they went about their work about what they'd seen and what they'd experienced? I'm sure they did. And I'm sure that, in fact, they probably told their children and their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, about the day that they saw the Messiah. Their lives were changed. They became the early form of marketplace evangelists. They went back to their work. Now, God sometimes calls people out of their work to be evangelists, like he did to the disciples. He called the apostles out, but these he sent back to go be in the workplace and to be witnesses of the Messiah, to be evangelists. That was their mission field, that hillside. They spoke to the sheep, but they spoke to their families. They changed lives. So we have these poor shepherds, these handful of peasants. God chose these peasants, these shepherds, these migrant workers, to be witnesses of the greatest news of all of history. The Messiah that was born. The shepherds listened. The shepherds then obeyed. They worshiped. And then they witnessed to what God had done that night. And then they returned to their places of work. Isn't that the way, the model that we should have for our lives? We encounter the living God. We come to know him as our Lord and Savior. We experience the power of the life-changing power of God. We're obedient to what he tells us to do, and we become his witnesses in the places where he's placed us. We become his evangelists. We become those that have a story to tell, an experience to tell. Just as God chose those early shepherds on that day, he chooses each one of us to be his messengers, to have the responsibility, but not just the responsibility, the joy to tell the greatest news. The greatest news in all of history is the good news that Jesus Christ came on that day 2,000 years ago, and he continues to impact the world, continues to change lives, continues to bring joy and light to all those around. We get to be witnesses not just of the birth of Jesus Christ, but also the completed work of Jesus. He came, he lived a perfect sinless life, he died on the cross at the hands of sinners who killed him, but he didn't stay crucified. He rose again from the grave, and he lives forever interceding at the right-hand side of the Father for you and for me. That is the greatest news. The shepherds had a piece of it. The shepherds had a glimpse, just one piece of it. Almost if we look back to the Old Testament and we see the prophets, they got a piece of it. Micah, Isaiah, they all got a piece of it and said, well, this is what God's telling me to write down. The Messiah is coming. He'll be born in Bethlehem. He will suffer. He will die. They all got the piece of it, and the shepherds got the greater revelation, actually seeing the Christ child. But we get to experience and get to see how history was changed by Jesus' life and how it continues to change as Jesus lives forever. Have you experienced the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ in your life? Have you experienced that? Just like these shepherds, if you've experienced that, it will change your life forever. You'll have a story to tell. You have a witness about what God has done in your life. And if you have already, which I'm assuming most of us have, encountered Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he's saying to you, go back to your workplace. Go back into your families. Go to those in your family that do not know him, those that you are praying for, and tell them about the greatest news in all of history. The greatest news, the greatest story, which the beginning of which we celebrate today. Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem. I challenge you today. I challenge you with this one challenge today as you go out into this day. And I know many of you are going to go home. Tell someone about the reason for Christmas. Tell one person today about why we celebrate Christmas. One of the best seasons of all the year, but why do we celebrate it? Much of the world celebrates Christmas but does not know why. I got a text message from a friend in England today, and he said, Merry Xmas. So I texted, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, so I was angry. So I texted him back and I said, who's X? And he responded, it's me, it's Clinton. I said, no, who's the X? People don't know who Jesus is. It's just become another reason for a celebration, a reason for a party. We have every reason to truly celebrate this day and celebrate the Messiah. Let's tell others that Christ is the reason for Christmas. Let us close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the shepherds. We thank you, Lord, that they were obedient and that they became evangelists. They went out and told what you told them to say. But they also were witnesses, and it changed their lives. Lord, as we look to this day and as you look to the year ahead, we ask you, Lord, that we would be witnesses for you, that we would share the light and the love of Jesus into the lost and dying world around us. Let us not keep this good news to ourselves, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you would put in us a burning passion to share the gospel message with those around us, that Jesus Christ was born on this day. and that He lives forever interceding for us. And that salvation is available to all those who put their faith and trust in You as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that You would bless us this day with Your presence in a unique way. That as we gather as families, as we enjoy fellowship, I pray, Lord, that You would permeate every relationship today, everyone here, with Your blessing and Your peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.